with the media ministry. So we'll start with a word of prayer, and then I'll share some slides with you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for this day. We thank you again for Jesus Christ and his finished work. We thank you again that we have a copy of your word to show us your path for our justification as well as sanctification and ultimate glorification. We just even thank you for this local church with faithful elders that are teaching us from your word, and even this Gibbs program for the opportunity for students to dive in and learn how to teach at a deeper level. And even just thank you for the media ministry as well and the opportunity tonight just even to provide an overview of that and how it can even support our mission here. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to take a few minutes here and give you guys an overview of what we're doing with the media ministry. I'm going to cover the purpose of the ministry, cover a little bit of the history because I think it's relevant, cover a little bit of what we do and how we do it, how we communicate amongst the team, the role of the media team coordinator, which I serve as, how we built the team to date, a little bit of our lessons learned, and give you guys a view of the worldwide audience that we have in the ministry. So in line with our doctrinal statement concerning the church, obviously, we're here not for the technology, but the media ministry, you know, is using the internet and other technology tools to exalt the Savior, equip the saints, and evangelize the lost. A lot of times we heard people call it the tech ministry or the media ministry, but obviously we're not here for the technology's sake. Our primary purpose is actually supporting what goes on here in the pulpit on Wednesdays and Sundays and other events and making sure that we're supporting the goose. So Pastor Roxer has taught a message one time, a good work worth remembering, from Ephesians 4:11-13, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The media ministry is here to support that effort. And it's kind of interesting when I was preparing to give this presentation, even think about the history, you know, and Pastor Roxer maybe can even elaborate a little bit further, but I can trace the history of what I would call the media ministry here all the way back to Pastor Radke's tape ministries from the 70s. And then when you look at the starting of this assembly here in the early 80s, there was a tape ministry and, you know, people controlling wherever the setting was controlling the sound. So decades before ever became involved in it, the media ministry has been a part of this assembly. So my earliest involvement was 2004 when Bobby and I volunteered to convert some of Pastor Radke's cassettes to MP3. That was really the first time that we did some of that. So, but it's been going on for literally decades. And then in March of 2006, focusing on those objectives of exalting, equipping, and evangelism, and Pastor Roxer reminded us, recognizing that we are ambassadors of Christ called to make disciples of all nations, at the request of the elders, a team of us met to take a look at how we could leverage technology to further the gospel of grace. And as a result of that meeting, we had a team that came up with two major projects back in 2006. And number one was to do a significant website enhancement. And number two was to figure out how could we do a more effective way of doing audio, video capture, editing, and ultimately storing all that files. So thinking of that history, it really, to me, reflects a body concept in action. Because shortly thereafter, as an example, in 2006, I had a homeschool computer class. And we took that class and the people that were working in the audio room at the time, and on one day up at LSC in Tom Gustafson's lab, we converted 400 CDs to MP3 files. And at the same time, updating ID3 tags, which are the tags that make an audio file identify what the content is, we had the Gustafson family do that. And I don't know how many are aware of it, but we did a lot of cassette tape to digital converting, and Bobby did a little bit of that, but we had Pete and Christy Weinkoop all the way in Georgia that we were sending CDs to them and tapes to them, and they were converting them to MP3s. And my point in all of this and mentioning that is, you know, if you look at that time frame all the way back to the early 70s through today, there's been thousands of hours of volunteer support taking the media ministry where it is today. So praise the Lord for that. And if you look at some of the names, or I listed some of the names that were some of the projects, you know, some of those when they were little kids working on that stuff. It's kind of exciting just to think of all the people who have done that, but not just the people here, but all the way back to the 70s, just dozens of people who have been involved in the ministry, which is obviously a good reflection of the total body concept. So the results of that 2006 meeting, actually should say 2006, not 2016 meeting, the result of the 2006 meeting, God's been very gracious. We launched a new website, we launched a new website on August 2nd of 2006, already preloaded with 500 messages. We started webcasting the services in 2007, and we're all very familiar with Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." You think of all the things that the Lord had to bring together to make all that happen. He brought together finances. He brought us a hosting company with a web content management solution. That's what WCM is. That was Elixio. He brought us together a hosting company for webcasting, Sermon Audio. He brought us a hosting company for e-learning. The gracenet.org is where we have Gibbs Online, at least the initial stages of Gibbs Online. And if you guys can pray for that, we would really like to see that take off in a much bigger way than what we've done to it for today. It's brought many technology tools together, many willing volunteers, and literally thousands upon thousands of visitors are coming and taking an opportunity to look at our content. And I added this slide too because I was thinking about this, and I put the question mark there because when I volunteered back in 2004 to convert cassettes to MP3s, I wasn't thinking I'm going to position myself for a title. I mean, that wasn't the last thing that was, you know, on my mind. And in fact, in 2010, Pastor talked to me about becoming a deacon. My first reaction really was that Jonah type thing. I really want to get away from this. I really didn't want that. I've got enough exposure in my day job to last me a lifetime. And I just felt a deacon opportunity was exposure that I didn't need. But the Lord humbled me, reminded me I didn't create webcasting. I didn't create the internet. We all know Al Gore did. I didn't create smart boards. I didn't create iPads. I created none of that technology. And as pastors taught many times, I was but dust. And the Lord wanted to use me. And then in 2011, I became a deacon over this ministry. But the point in all that is, you don't need a title. Wasn't looking for a title. Don't need a title to serve. But I'm thrilled to be part of this ministry. It's very exciting to see how the Lord is using it. So specifically, what do we do and how we do it? You can break down what we do essentially into three major functions. And the first major function is we do audio and video capture and manage the sound system in the auditorium and throughout the facility. So we're doing that on Sundays and Wednesdays, Gibbs webcast like Steve's up there tonight doing, workshops and various other events. And I'll show you a little bit of how we do all that. We also provide the technical support for the church, which means we're supporting the local area networks, the computers, and all the other devices. This includes firewalls, switches, servers, PCs, laptops, and other devices. So there's a lot of technology actually behind the scenes here at church. And we also do the website, so we perform maintenance and updates of that on an ongoing basis. So I'm going to take a few slides to go through each one of those and tell you a little bit about how we do that. So the audio capture and manage the sound systems really, again, kind of the beginnings of the ministry started with, you know, the tape ministry and managing a sound system. So what the guys who are doing the audio do is they're managing the sound system in the auditorium and throughout the facility because there are speakers throughout the facility. They're capturing the audio into MP3 format, which we're loading up to our website, and they're managing the audio feed to the video output. So I even gave you a picture of what that equipment looks like in the bottom there. In the bottom left, you can see we have a mixer up in that media room up there, and the mixer is connected through the floor. There's a cable that runs underneath to this middle device, which is a digital audio snake head, and that connects the two together. And all these speakers that we have, whether they're hanging up in the auditorium or this microphone, I mean, not speakers, but the microphones and the microphone I have here, they're all connected to that snake head. So they're talking together, and it's also connected to these speakers that you see hanging here and the speakers there. So it's all one integrated digital audio system that's not only managing that audio for what we're hearing today right in the room, but capturing it again for the MP3 as well as feeding what I'll show you with the video system. So the video capture is essentially doing three things. So Steve right now is up in the room and he's webcasting. So at the same time that he's doing a live webcast, he's also on the middle there, he's capturing an archive of the webcast that we load up to Sermon Audio and we load up to YouTube. And on the far right, he's also capturing a high definition video file that we do use to compile a PAC TV file for TV rebroadcast. So quickly, the configuration for all of that, in the bottom left there, what we have is up in those rooms there, we have three different cameras, and we also, this pulpit has a PC below it that's connected to the network. So if you look at that left there, three cameras, and whatever's on this smart board is being fed to this middle device, which is up in that media room, which is called the TriCaster Mini. So these are all through networking, four feeds connected to that mixer, similar to how you mix a sound, we mix video. And what Steve is up there looking at right now is a high-definition monitor where the top third of his screen, he's seen all those feeds, and he has a preview and a live, and he's switching between those, and he can adjust he can adjust the sound as well. So essentially what he's doing is, as similar to how people mix audio, he's mixing video, and at the same time that he's sending it up to the internet for a live webcast, writing it to hard drive twice, once for web and once for high definition. So how we do that, the roles that we use to do that, is there's a team of 12 people that are on the media team that are doing audio video capture. And if you look in the bottom left there, there's three roles. The first is an audio producer. The audio producer role is they're managing the soundboard, and after the sound is set on Sunday or Wednesdays and the speaker volume is controlled to the level that we want it to, they slide over and sit next to the video person, and they bring up a copy of the PowerPoint that's being used, and they're one slide ahead on the PowerPoint, kind of producing and letting the video person who's sitting in the middle role there, that video role, know what slide's coming and try to give them a heads up of how to best place the speaker or how to best place the slide within that video mixing. Philip, you have a question? You can use the mic.
The video person is one slide ahead of
the producer has a copy of the PowerPoint up on a PC next to that TriCaster device, mm-hmm. and so they have the slide show up, and we have them going one slide ahead, but it's not in slideshow mode, it's in
presenter
that,
mode.
Regular mode, so they can see what's coming, so that we can see what slides are coming and understand how we want to mix the speaker shot with the PowerPoint. That was a suggestion a pastor had probably, I don't know, 9 months ago now, I think we went to that and made it so that we could keep the speaker in the forefront more often than we were doing. We had a tendency at times to be enamored with the slide, and the video person would shift to the slide and keep the focus on the slide, and we wanted to have much more interaction, much more PIP, picture in picture, and that's how we started getting enhanced improvement of the webcast by having somebody quote-unquote producing by looking at what's coming in the PowerPoint. Make sense? And then the third role is the person who's always sitting behind the projector. So if you're ever up here teaching and you want help, the person who's officially assigned to help you is sitting right behind that projector. They're the technical person, and they're doing general pulpit management. They're managing that projector. You notice, like on Sunday, Dale Volga was sitting there, and we had it started up with a side shot because we're going to have the choir here. So his job is, after the choir is done, move the projector back to the main shot. And they're also responsible for managing the smart board and anything that would happen with the pulpit. So three roles, I don't know if you realize that, but every time we're having a service here, with the exception of like a Gibbs setting, there's always three people who are making sure we're managing all that we're doing with audio and video capture. Okay? How do we communicate this? So to communicate this, I'm calling it a product, because at the end of the day, we are producing a product. So to ensure a consistent quality product, we have to have defined procedures. So they're written in a fashion non-subject matter experts can understand. We're dealing with a group of volunteers, and me included, are not in video production as a living. So we had to write up really good procedures that we know that we could get a reliable, repeatable process on. I'm just gonna take a second and show you how we did that. We actually created a website. I might have to take a second here to log in. I should have done that during the break. I'm sorry, I didn't do that. I just want to show you how simple we can use some of the tools that are out there and available. Is essentially what we've done is we've created a Google Doc. Give me 1 second to log in here. Log in with my text code. Height, double top secret information. There you go. So it's really a simple Google website, though, that you don't need to be a programmer to do. And if you look at this, we have on the left-hand side there, we'll have an announcement. So the first thing that a audio or video guy does when they go up in the media room on a Sunday or Wednesday, or even like Steve did tonight for the Gibbs, is he's going to go look at the announcements. So if you look at Wednesday as an example, Daryl will put out the announcement. And this, we're looking for, remember I said we're looking for reliability and quality. Daryl will put out an announcement and says, here's the message for Wednesday, April 20th. Here's the file name. We have a file naming convention that we want everybody to conform to. We don't want everybody just creating all that. We literally have thousands and thousands of files. So Daryl will say, hey, it's True Christianity. Here's the date. If you're the audio guy, you put an A in, and David Failing in the Faith, Rest, Life, Part 3, and then the teacher's name. So when you go look at our file storage system, everything is very neatly stored and named the same so that we can readily find this information. So we have instructions there. First thing they're supposed to do when they come and serve is look at that site and look at what the announcements are. We could give them guidelines for serving, but then we have audio instructions, we have Gibbs instructions, we have a bunch of technical support instructions. Now, not everything's not written, but I actually would really like most things to be written because we're relying on a bunch of volunteers, again, to fill in for various roles. But I'm going to show you real quick what Steve would have done tonight. He would have gone to his webcast instructions, and he would have said, here's my steps for pre-webcast, step one. And then we'd have gone for step two, here's my TriCaster setup steps. Here's the step three for live production. Here's how we do our live production. Now, it looks like a bunch of content, but it was stuff that was developed over time, and nobody reads it every time they come and serve. But if they haven't served for a while and they need to understand, we actually created a standard. What's camera one supposed to do? What's camera two supposed to do? What's camera three supposed to do? When you transition to a PowerPoint, how are you supposed to do that? And as any of you have watched any of the webcasts, you realize we're not perfect at it because we are volunteers and they're only serving every so often in any given role, but we do have the instructions there to make it a little bit easier to follow, and then we talk about how do you archive that file and how do you create a PACTV file. So my point in that is, back to the PowerPoint, my point in all that is it's important for us, because we are dealing with volunteers, to give them clear written instructions, and again, these guys aren't subject matter experts in that. So then what we do from a schedule perspective is it's scheduled monthly, 1 month in advance. So at the end of April, I'll be scheduling for June. Everybody is required to have a Gmail account. That's the only one technical requirement for everybody. They email me on a monthly basis their unavailability. And I'll show you what the schedule looks like in a second. And then once the schedule gets published, if they need to make a change, they have to send an email to everybody, and there's a defined way of what the subject has to look like, and anybody who can fill the replacement will reply to everybody. So I'll show you what the schedule looks like. So we're scheduling, remember, we're scheduling three roles. So if I go down here for the Man of God conference that we just had, I can see that on Friday, Mark was scheduled to be the V, Josh was the AP, and Brandon was the T. And if I go look here for a Gibbs night, Steve's scheduled to be the ABT. So the nice thing about doing things in like a Google Doc is everybody's walking around with a smartphone, so if they're wondering when do they serve, they can get to that Google Doc right on their smartphone, they can get to it on their iPad, they can get to it from any other device, they can get to it from Android or wherever. Did you have a question, Poochie? Okay. So that's how we're scheduling, and what we do is, if you notice on here, I have a bunch of X's in, so it's really clear then, everybody's emailing me a month in advance what days they're not available for April. So if somebody's looking for a switch, they obviously know if there's an X in the spot, they know that Michael Pearson can't serve Sunday, April 17th for whatever reason. Because it was a choir day, so I was going to block that off. So we're scheduling with that mechanism. Again, we're communicating through the Media Ministry website what your instructions are for the day, and if you need the policy and procedure for how to do what you're doing, it's out there. The schedule's a month in advance. We try to keep it so that we do zero calling to each other, try to keep it as efficient as we can and respect people's time with their family. So switching gears on the technical support, as I mentioned in the lead-in, we're supporting the local area network, which is computers and devices, routers, firewalls, servers, PCs, laptops. On the LAN support, the local area network, there's two people who take care of making sure the network is working correctly. And on the laptop application support, four members are making sure that the laptops are working well, the desktops are working well. So just to give you guys a visual, because it always helps me, because I frankly don't understand what all this equipment does at times either. If you look at the bottom left, that's what a router, switches, and firewalls that we're looking at do. So that's how creating the network around here. And then the next device over there, the Dell PowerEdge Tower Server, that's what we have located down the stairs off the boiler room. It's our file storage. Now, our goal is going to be, as soon as we launch our new website, our goal is going to be to take our file storage off-premise and put it into the cloud. And we're going to probably be doing that with Google Drive so that as Pastor Roxer and other members are traveling, they'll be able to get to the files much more readily from wherever they're at than what they would have to do today to log into that. But we also have 5 Dell laptops that people are using as workstations that we're supporting. And there's various PCs around the building. There's a PC sitting in this pulpit here. There's 2 of them up in that room there. There's 1 in the print shop. And the team that handles our technical support is managing all of that. We also are doing the website, performing the maintenance of the website and upgrades on an ongoing basis. 3 to 4 team members from time to time are taking care of that. And we do have a major, as I mentioned a couple Wednesdays ago, I believe, we do have a major website launch in the final stages. As soon as we can get the Grace Gospel Press part of that worked in, we'll have a new website. So if you kind of look even at the history of the website from the bottom left moving forward, pre-2006, that's what the website looked like. Daryl managed it 100%, you know, using, I think, FrontPage, which is an HTML editor. Then in 2006, after we got involved in that major project, we launched a new Elixir web content management solution. And the difference with that meant we could have multiple content editors who could readily go in and no more complicated than updating a PowerPoint slide or updating a Word doc can publish content to that. And then in 2012, we went to Elixir's next generation web content management solution, which just brought up theoretically the media library to a new level. But as we've all experienced, anybody who's visited the website, they never anticipated 1,400 files out there, and it's really slow. So we're moving to the far right there on the bottom, hopefully this year, hopefully next month, to a new WordPress site, which is an open source site, but it's a responsive design. And again, the reason for moving to responsive design means it'll work on that tablet form factor, it'll work on the smartphone form factor, it'll automatically adjust to that. And if you aren't mobile friendly, the search engines won't even rate you. So we gotta get mobile friendly to start getting rated by the search engines, and then we really need to heavily tie in a lot of social networking. And Pastor Roxer and Pucci and I were just talking about doing basic objections to Christianity, 3 to 5 minute messages, publishing them on YouTube, hoping we can get some viral content out there on social networking. That kind of activity inbound to your website will dramatically improve the search engine optimization factors for it. So the role of the media team coordinator, I'll go top to kind of bottom. My number one role is helper to the elders. I'm here submitting to the elders, helping them fulfill the mission that they direct me to do. Obviously, I do have some technical expertise that is helpful in my role, but I'm ultimately accountable to them to make sure we're on track for how they want to utilize our resources here. Moving to the left there, I'm the lead prayer guy. I mean, praying for the media ministry to see where should we go and where should we take it. Over on the right, I'm a coach. I love being a coach, and that's what I'm doing with a team of 12-plus players is making sure that those guys are doing what they need to be doing. Strategist, trying to figure out how May 1st Dale Vogel is going to go remotely and capture Rick McCarron in audio video in a quality fashion. Got to figure out how that's going to happen, and those kind of projects come up all the time. So I'm also a project manager, making sure that we can implement new technologies, smart boards, pulpits, digital audio systems, new digital video systems. So you have to have some project management duties involved in there, a technical coordinator, making sure all the tech stuff's working together, kind of a voice for the team. And the role I often serve, more often than not, is a customer service manager as well, because just like any kind of accommodations business, hospitality business, if somebody doesn't like what they're seeing or hearing, I sure hear about it. I'm sure Pastor hears about it. We definitely hear some praise along the way too, but we definitely hear from people the minute the webcast isn't working, we have 12 people texting me saying the webcast is not working, and so I get to handle the customer service as well. So how do you build a team? It's really simple, and it's not unique to the media ministry. You're looking for people who are fat, faithful, available, teachable. They're really, you know, to do the skills that are involved for the audio video capture, you don't have to have any technical skills. You need to be faithful, available, teachable. And it's very exciting to be able to take people who aren't quote-unquote techies and see them go up in that room there and produce a webcast. It's exciting to see what they can do with that. So if you're on the tech side of supporting the local area network and all the devices, some technical skills surely are helpful. I'll close here with some lessons learned, and I broke it down into three. There are many lessons learned, but the three lessons I'm going to share with you are the Proverbs 3:5-6 actually works. He'll direct our paths. It's definitely his ministry, and he'll provide the needs. You know, for me, I've got to tone it down a little bit from my day job. That's a business. Recognize I'm submitting to the elders. That's a great humbling lesson for me in my role, and I think the Lord, you know, I look back now seeing the sale of Sanzio to Physio, where in Sanzio I was CEO in charge of everything, and then in Physio I'm in charge of a lot but not in charge of everything. The Lord's prepared me for that even in my role as a deacon, so it's exciting to see how that's been working. But I've got to remember I'm working with volunteers. You know, when I Josh is working super hard as a volunteer on the website. You know, it's a little bit challenging for me not to push him harder and say, I want that new website out, but I got to remember, he's got a day job as well. He's a volunteer, and all those guys up there, you know, Steve Thomas is taking time away from his family tonight to spend four hours with you guys all to make sure that the people at our remote locations for Gibbs don't have to drive, and we're thrilled to be part of that. But I have to remember, from my perspective, I got to be very gracious with that team, much different than I would treat them if they were a team member working at my office. And again, a next lesson was to ensure consistent quality product, because at the end of the day, we are producing a product that's being produced out on the, being placed out on the internet. Got to make sure that we have well-written instructions that non-subject matters can understand, that are reliable and reproducible. We don't want everybody coming up into that media room every Wednesday and Sunday, or Gibbs and producing the webcast however they artistically feel today it should come out. We want a very systematic way of producing it. And the reason is, again, is the focus is on this, what's coming out of the pulpit right here, and the Word of God. We don't want people distracted by somebody who's doing something crazy with the technology. And then the third lesson learned for me is, do what you do is unto the Lord. Don't look for human gratitude or expect it. And we all are very familiar with Ephesians 6:6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. I'm submissive to the elders, but I'm not doing what I'm doing as unto Pastor Rox or Tom or Kurt. I'm doing what I do as unto the Lord. You know, and frankly, you know, sometimes you get out there and you go, wow, we just put a new TriCaster in and we've doubled the resolution of the webcast and we worked really hard, we put hours into that. And then what do you get? You get calls saying, why'd you break the webcast? You know, so I've been dealing with three or four people who said, why'd you break the webcast? And go, well, actually, we improved it. Not for me, you didn't. You know, and so I go, well, then I put my customer service hat on and thank the Lord for doing what we're doing. And again, it helps me keep focused that even if people don't express appreciation, we're not doing this ministry to have people show us appreciation. We're doing this to get the Word of God out literally around the world. So if you look at that a little bit, you think about the worldwide audience that is coming from here with the you know, as many bad things as are out on the internet, you think about what we get to do right from this pulpit here is webcast to the world. And we have that information out on our website, which we don't have really good analytics on the current website, but we'll get it with the new site. But if you look at what we're doing with Sermon Audio and YouTube, you can see that we have thousands of visitors every month. In fact, in the bottom left there in blue, we have 1,475 videos on Sermon Audio. And that's pretty amazing, the amount of content that gets preached over this pulpit. That's all from this pulpit here, only since, I think, probably 2007. We have 368 videos on YouTube, and we've only been doing that for the past 2.5 years, I believe. And just those two venues get about 6,000 viewers per month. Now, I think when we do a new website and we get the social networking thing going on, it can be 10 or 100-fold times that if we get that going. And obviously, it's not about numbers, but it's just encouraging to know that the work that is being done over this pulpit is being extended far beyond Duluth, Minnesota. And one of the things that we're focusing on as well, and one of the reasons why we really wanted to improve the quality of the webcast and change over to the way the website's delivered, is in 2015, 47% of the people who visited our website were coming in on a mobile device. Now, if you think about that, there's 2.6 billion smartphones in the world today, 2.6 billion, and that's projected to be 6.1 billion by the year 2020. So this is the way people are consuming content, and if you know, you see anybody 30 and under, this is their computer. So we're going to reach a lot of people through that type of technology. So praise the Lord, we have quite a ministry through the media team. So Hebrews 6:10 says, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, and it truly is for me a labor of love to serve in this ministry. It's just really a privilege to be part of it, and it's exciting to just be able to work under the elders of this church here who are very faithfully teaching God's word, and for us to share that with the world, which you have shown toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. So with that, if you have any other questions, I would take any other questions anybody might have about the media ministry. Angela.
What is the advantage that we're going to have on our phones, the current website to the new one? Is it going to be better resolution?
If you go to the current website, is back to 2012,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't quote-unquote responsive design. What responsive design means is the website will conform to the form factor of the device it's on. So when you look at the new website, and you go to it on a smartphone or you go to it on some tablet, it will automatically adjust to the size of your form factor so that it fits. If you go to our website, current website today on your phone, you're going to scroll up and down and all around to make it fit because it wasn't designed to fit in that form factor. So the new website is specifically designed to adjust its content for the device that you're accessing the content with. Which one of the biggest advantages also is that if you've ever tried to watch a video from our website using this device, not so much. But you watch a video from the new website, you're going to be able to access that content right from your smartphone.
I think it's also true that, isn't it, Dale, that in the new website, first of all, searchability to find us, and then functionality once they find us, is heightened by the new website.
That's our objective, is to make the searchability for sure, because the SEO, the search engine optimization, the robot searching your internet sites, your websites, they don't even rate you anymore if you're not mobile, quote-unquote mobile friendly. Whether or not it's more functionally easier to use, that's our objective. I think same thing with the website. We will please some of the people some of the time, but we won't please them all for sure. But the idea is to make it simpler, yes.
And isn't it true that Alexio, when we went there, we really, it's more designed to service a local church.
Correct.
More than designed to service the world.
Yes, their target audience is a local church, and particularly when it comes to the media content, it's designed to have this week's and last week's message up on it. It wasn't designed to be a repository of sermons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In addition, could you tell us, how many downloads have we had over the years?
I think to date, from the beginning of the website that we launched in 2006, I believe we just passed 1 million video audio downloads within this past 12 months.
Okay.
1 million.
Thank you.
I guess all of us are probably wondering is, can you print these off on paper so we have a... Okay.
You know, I was thinking about this as I was getting ready to come here. I was wondering, is having worked at Sanzio a requirement for being a Gives This Here? Because I've had the privilege of working with three of you. No, I've had the privilege of working with three of them. I'm not saying. You guys can discuss amongst yourself.
Two questions. One, I think it would be extremely useful to have the handouts already filled out available on the website.
Amen, bro.
One of the things I would like to do is make the handouts more readily fillable. So for example, I'm using my iPad, and I'm going to the website, and I'm clicking on the link to the worksheet, and I'm selecting, I'll copy and paste it into my Bible app, and then I'm typing over the lines, but it would make it a lot easier if they weren't underlined, if they were X's. So we're going to take a look at how to make it a little more fillable friendly on an electronic device, and maybe offer two links, one to be a printout for those people who still want to print paper, and one for more readily copying it into a note that we can edit electronically.
If we could have it, a third link of it already filled out, that would be extremely useful for things like a topical study let's say you didn't want to get in depth with 8 hours of 1 Peter, but you like were dealing with something in your life where you wanted to go like try to understand what the Word of God says over an hour, to have that already filled out rather than, well, your only option is to listen to a message in full.
Well, that question I would defer to Pastor if he's willing to put that out, so I'll defer to him on that. Technically, we can sure do it.
Yeah, it ain't going to happen. And I'll tell you why. A number of years ago, when I first started out at Kenwood Bible Chapel, I gave handouts with all the answers. And I lost audience interest. Because what happened is people read the handout and they're like, well, I know what it's all about. And they tended to tune out. In fact, we had a doctor that would come. He'd look over the handout, and then he would read a Louis L'Amour book or whatever inside his Bible. Sometimes he just forgot there was a balcony, though. And people in the balcony could look down and see him reading it inside his Bible, which was kind of funny. But anyhow, I found out that having blanks that people have to fill in increases interest. They want to know what the next answer is. Yeah, well, after would be a possibility. But I think the better thing to do, what I would like to see, is I wouldn't mind someone taking all the handouts in a series and compiling them into a booklet-like form that then could be utilized. We've done that, actually, with 1 Peter. We did that with Ruth. The only thing is we didn't make the booklet available to everybody, but it was sent to all our pastors. So we have done some things along those lines.
Well, Robert, I'll look into that then with talking to Pastor and look at it after the fact when we post the message up to Sermon Audio, when we post it up to, well, not probably YouTube, but maybe Sermon Audio. Maybe we could put a completed handout up there. But we can all talk to him and defer to him on that.
Just to add more to it, you can do a keyword or something like answer this question and you can get back to fill that one. It would be a word that would be a certain part of the 30 minutes, 5 seconds, this word, and it's just a way that they've done it in other ways. Other sites have done that.
Okay.
One of the other issues that's involved is if we were going to go to a Gibbs Online and we're seriously thinking we would like to do this, the biggest problem we're experiencing is the testing mechanism. Mm-hmm. How do we test the students? Well, one of the things because we don't really want to hire someone full-time to manage the Gibbs website and answer and test and grade and all of that. And one of the things we'll do is they'll be required to fill in the handout and send in a filled-in handout before they get the next lesson. So again, filled-in handouts would be counterproductive for that as well. And that would be our way to see that they did watch it, they did fill it out. Hopefully they do have something to study with. And then we're thinking at the end of the course maybe only one or two tests per courses and maybe have them in multiple guest form, which is not the highest way to learn. You know, it's not as good as something that's more interactive, but it might be the way to go. We get requests, I think, at least twice a month from somebody out there asking, have you ever considered doing Gibbs Online? We have enrolled in other courses in other Bible colleges or whatever, and frankly, what we've seen at your website is we love the content, we love the posture, we love what's there, and we just don't see that same quality in a lot of other places, and therefore, would you ever consider doing this?
And I'll just add that we have 4 years worth of Gibbs training,
yes,
in Gibbs Online. We deployed it through an open e-learning course called Moodle, and it's available with all the audio, some video links, and all the worksheets. The part that Pastor's referring to is it takes a lot of effort to go build out assessments that people can do online. It's essentially building out a college online. So I would just ask you guys to pray for that, because we've been working on this for probably 8 years now,
and
a lot of the content is there, but the assessments aren't there. And you need somebody who understands the content in order to create the assessments.
Yeah, that's the hang-up.
Now, this will sound odd for me, because I do love convenience, but if Harvard, Stanford, Oxford, Cambridge, Princeton, if all these schools have said, you know, you may want the content and say it's too difficult to move here, but you need to be here face-to-face if you think our quality of teaching is worth having. We're not going to give you a degree remotely. That's just, we just don't believe that. I mean, I suppose we could make the same statement about our sister churches, you know, come be part of a local church.
Yeah, we're looking at Gibbs actually in three levels, if you can look at it this way. You've got level number one is we just want the content of the classes out there and for people to grasp the content. Level number two would be we want the content out there in a local church setting with a pastor that's on board with us that can work with his students. And level number three is the deepest level, and it's the way we're doing it right now. You know, you're in a local church that we're familiar with or part of our fellowship, and you're getting interaction and training. Now, when it comes to some courses like exegesis or even expository preaching, I think without somebody there being able to interact with you and so forth, your comprehension and value of the class is going to be lowered. But that's not true with content classes. That's not true with Romans and so forth. The other thing we thought about along these lines is to do this. When someone finishes the course, that we will personally interact with them either on phone or on email or something and talk with them and make sure they understand, answer any questions they have. The one other element we thought about is for those who are in the United States, some colleges are requiring that if you are taking courses online, you have to come on campus, though, one time or two times a year for a week at a time, and having something like that. In fact, we thought of a camp. We have access to a camp that we could probably use that's secluded, that could give us a week where we could even bring in, they could bring their family to. We could have classes in the morning, afternoons off, and evenings of service, and do it for a week with the students in the United States. Furthermore, we get questions all the time in Africa. Are you ever going to do Gibbs online? We'd love to take Gibbs online. And there are places like in Zambia where you cannot officially become a pastor recognized by the state if you do not have a degree of some kind. And so therefore, we can, by the way, offer degrees. According to the state of Minnesota, we can, and in our other countries, we are. Mm-hmm. But and Grace Biblical Seminary in Atlanta has offered to recognize all our graduates and give them appropriate degrees. If they have a, if they don't have an undergraduate and a finishing Gibbs, you can get a BS. If you have an undergraduate degree, they'll give you a master's degree. I don't know if they'll give you a doctorate, but they will offer degrees because they recognize the quality of the work and the quality of the students that have come out of here. So very gracious and very thankful for that.
Towards Mr. Pearson now again, there's a whole science that you're familiar with, I'm sure, of like online marketing techniques. It seems like we're doing some of them with like SEO and trying to get inbound links. Have we thought of creating like a funnel for getting them on like an automated drip mailing list with like opt-in forms? If you downloaded a message, like, you know, hey, would you like to be part of our newsletter? Sign up here for this, you know, free guide to whatever. And then they're on the newsletter, Grace for the Race, and then Grace for the Race funnels them towards other materials. Have we thought of bringing in some of those techniques?
We haven't, but we should. If you have some ideas to share, by all means, email me and we'll consider what we can do.
I have to get better at it myself, but I'll keep it in mind.
Yeah, no,
this year as I learn those things.
It's not my skill set for sure.
So glad you brought that up, Robert, because I was thinking of making that a PS on your Gibbs project.
That'd be helpful. Okay. No more questions? Another comment.
Yeah, again, I just want to thank you, Dale, and the whole media team. I mean, even tonight, just seeing all that's involved, thank you so much for your labor of love, and many, many, many people have benefited from it. You think about a million downloads. And frankly, I don't even know how they find us, but they do.
Yeah.
And I get emails from people from all around the world that find us and how the Lord used his word and the teaching of grace to deliver them. And I share some of them over the pulpit from time to time One, because they're thrilling stories, and two, I want to encourage the media that their labor is not in vain in the Lord. Because sometimes, as you know, in ministry, ministry can be very thankless. You can minister in a lot of ways, and not a lot of people say thank you. And sometimes they're grateful, and they don't express it, and other times they don't even realize what's all involved. And that's why I appreciated what you pointed out. You do what you do heartily as unto the Lord, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. And you wait until that day. But in the meantime, it is nice to hear some encouraging news as well.
Praise the Lord. It's a phenomenal ministry to be part of.
You mentioned earlier about the new webcast will help in social media. And I'm on Facebook. I'm actually not right now. But
yes.
I see.
When was your last post?
I see. About 3 months ago.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not on it right now.
All right.
But I do see from time to time people post, you know, the message. Oh, Sunday's message is really good. But for me, I'm not a type of person. If I'm scrolling Facebook, I want a quick 3-minute bit. I can't sit there for an hour and
right.
watch. It's just not appealing to me. And I've been to DBC, and I know that it'd be really good. But the stuff that interests people on Facebook or whatever these sites I've been to is quick. I want to read a quick
right.
blog post. I want to read a quick whatever. And so, how are you going to, I guess?
To kickstart that, our project on the list, as I mentioned briefly, is to have Pastor Roxer come up here and teach basic objections to Christianity, objection by objection by objection, in a 3 to 5 minute segment. And really, and I think Pastor Roxer appreciates that, it's got to be, like you say, we're in the YouTube generation. If somebody clicks on a video and they see it an hour and 10 minutes, they're likely not going to watch it. So we're going to try to get them kind of hooked by 3 to 5 minute snippets of starting with basics, objection to Christianity, which will be up on YouTube, which will be on our new site, and our new site will have social connectors that make it a little easier to connect. And the fact that it's mobile friendly means we'll have search engines actually recording it and monitoring it and getting us out there. Right now we're kind of invisible.
Yeah, because I see like if it's a video shared or something, there's like 100 shares, but I go and I look, and it's everybody that we know.
Yeah.
It's like, no, it's not going viral, it's not. And then I get a blog post from whatever, and there's like already a million views in a matter of hours, and
yeah.
I think, how do we
That'd be awesome.
Market that
yeah,
better?
And we need to do that. Now, Pastor and I get to see a report from Sermon Audio every month, and we literally have, from states and countries, probably 60 states and countries accessing our content on Sermon Audio every month, but nothing's definitely gone viral. And I think we'll definitely see some improvement by putting a mobile-friendly site out, encouraging people to do the social networking, and putting some content that is a little bit shorter content to get them kind of whet their appetite to come in and dive in a little bit deeper.
Thank you.
Yeah, in regards to that, I think last month, I think it was 48 states and 48 countries.
Yeah.
That's what kind of sticks out in my mind. But it is pretty incredible that people even find us out there. But they do. You know, what I thought is what I need to do is I probably need to dance with brooms up front and things like that a little more to get a little more generated, you know. So. have elder meetings secretly taped and put on interview.
There you go.
That's happened once already now, I see. So you just never know what's out there. It's crazy, isn't it?
Okay.
Thank you so much, Dale. Anyone else have any questions before we let him go? Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Is Michael Hoffman here?
Yes.
Very good.